time for us to get started. I don't know where Chris is. We're studying in this book, the Gospel Message booklet. There's some copies on the back. If you need one of these for the study this morning, if you would raise your hand and we can get one to you. First, a little introduction in case we have some visitors that haven't been in the class before. This class is not, that we're in right now, is not primarily about all of us in here learning something new from the Bible that we didn't already know. There may be some things that we'll pick up. But primarily what we're talking about in here is how to take what we know that we've learned from the Bible, that I would assume everyone in the room has learned, if you've obeyed the gospel, learning how to take that and share it with others. So this is more of I view this more as a training class than a let's build our deep Bible knowledge base. I think of this a little bit like a dojo, except we don't have the cool belts. My son is in a martial arts class with a guy here in town that Kyle and Bonnie's son, Henry, has been in for quite a while, several years, and Nolan and Ryan and Josh, Jennifer, I lose track of how many people are in there. But anyway, when people are in there, they're learning some self-defense things. They're learning some combat things. Well, the purpose of that is to train there, so if there was ever a situation they had to deal with outside of there, they would be able to deal with it. That's what this is like. We're here for training so we can use the word in the world. Let's go ahead and have a prayer, and then we'll get into our study in lesson one. Our Holy Father, you are the ruler of heaven and earth. You've made everything. You've made the air that we breathe in this room. You know how much of it there is. You know the very hairs of our heads, how many stars there are. Your understanding and your wisdom is infinite. And we are humbled to be part of your creation. Father, we ask that you would bear with us. Father, we are so thankful that you considered us and that you decided to send your Son to redeem us from sin and death, to give us a hope and a future, to give us promises. And you are the great promise keeper. Father, you've given us your word, and you've charged us not only with learning it, hearing your word and believing what it says, believing the message about the one who came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, who was buried in the tomb that could not hold him, and that he rose again and ascended to be the king at the right at your right hand. Father, we thank you for that message. We thank you for your plan for us to save us from sin. Father, please watch over us this morning. Please open our minds to your word. Please help us to encourage one another as we train here in preparation for speaking your word when we leave here. Father, please be with those who are unable to be here for many different reasons, illness, circumstances in their life that prevent them from attending, spiritual struggles and weaknesses that they're battling. Father, please help all those who are unable to be here this morning. Help us to honor you in this study, in our worship later, and as we leave this place as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seems like maybe a couple of years ago now, we were having for a little while a meeting after services on, I believe it was on Sunday night once a month or so, about this kind of thing, about what we were doing in sharing the gospel with people. We would share stories about how it was going. And it was kind of like an encouragement to one another and accountability all wrapped into one. Accountability for what we had done, what we were all there trying to do. And we had something called KPIs. Okay, anybody remember the KPI cards? Kingdom Performance Indicators. It was really just a measure for us to remember what we had committed to do and then look back at it later and see if we actually did it. And so it was an accountability meeting, and that's extremely powerful. You'll find that in anything, in business, in sports, and there's no reason for it not to be in this type of setting. We voluntarily would go to that, so you could go, you could not go. But every one of us who has put on Christ, has obeyed the gospel, has stepped into the accountability meeting. And Christ holds us accountable for a task, and that is to share his gospel. That if we're not ashamed of his name, and that we are willing to speak his name, that he will also speak ours before the Father. So we're in there whether we like it or not. That is part of our walk as Christians. So I don't really know what this means, but let's get down to brass tacks. What does that mean, brass tacks? I don't really want to know right now, but this may be a little awkward or embarrassing for us. But this really isn't about us and our feelings and our comfort. This is about souls who need the gospel, who need to be freed from sin. And so I'm going to ask a question. I want you to think through the last several weeks and months and this year, and I'm going to get everybody to show your hands. Is there anybody who has visited with someone outside this group here about anything during the last year? Y'all don't get out much. Wow. About anything. Okay, everybody has talked with people outside this assembly. So we've all visited with people who are lost about what kind of tires we have or how their day went. So we all do that. We all interact with people. And this is not always this way. There's a group of people, culture in West Texas. It's all over the place, too. The Mennonites, where my parents live, there are a lot of Mennonites. And I asked my parents about them because they're very religious people, but they don't go outside their culture with it. That's a general rule. They're not reaching out. We shouldn't be that way. We should be talking to people in the world. And I think for the most part we do. We interact with people in the world all the time. So everybody in here has visited with someone outside the group in the last year. What about in the last month? Yeah, okay. We've all talked to people. What about in the last week? Yeah, we talk to people all the time. Okay, so we're talking to people that we know or we don't know that they've heard the gospel. All right, let's have another show of hands here. And this is the awkward part. The other part's easy. Raise your hand if you've shared the gospel or invited someone to study or invited someone to come to the assembly and hear the gospel within this last year. Okay? What about within the last month? Okay? Last week? Okay. Everybody feel that social pressure of having to own up to that? This is an accountability meeting. That's what our life is. This is serious business. We're talking about souls who need the word, just like our soul needed the word. And somebody was willing to share it with us. So if you did talk to someone about the gospel within the last week or month or year, why did you do that? Anybody can answer. Just what's a reason? Why did you talk to somebody about the gospel? Okay. You wanted them to see what happened to you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You have a compassion for them. Just like if somebody's standing in the road, facing one direction, there's a car coming behind them. Hopefully we would all say, get out of the road. Because they don't see it. It's that same thing. What else? Yes, sir.
That's different between the individual that I talked to. The woman with small children. You know, their soul. You're her soul. An individual maybe down with luck. There's certain criteria in the conversation, but it's like Cindy said, we don't want to send them to hell, but we want to see them come to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Paul?
I knew it was going to come up, so I started putting effort into it.
What's that?
The first time I've had this conversation was last week. Before that, it's been more than a year. But we're back in that season again where we're having these meetings in church about being accountable, about talking to people, so I'm talking to people.
Yeah, so it works. I mean, it really does work. Okay, so some other reasons could be we know that our Lord is watching us. So we have, hopefully, we have not only a love for our fellow man and their soul and recognizing that they have an eternal soul that's going to be somewhere either suffering or rejoicing. But also, we know that our Lord is watching us. So God is a great salesman. I mean, he puts the enticing part of that of love for our fellow man, but also the fear. And he said it in Matthew 10:32 and 33. He who denies me before men, I will deny before my Father. So he has us both ways. Okay. If you didn't share the gospel in the last week or month or year, and I've been in that situation. I mean, at some time in this year, there was a circumstance where I didn't share the gospel when I should have. I have no doubt. What reasons are there for that? Why did I not, or why did you not share the gospel in that situation? Yes, sir, Jason.
Too busy.
Too busy? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we just don't have, we don't think we have the time.
Yeah. Okay. Busy? Yes.
I was going to say, going along with that, sometimes we let life get in the way and we don't see the opportunity until we have that 20/20 hindsight, you know, an hour later. You know, I could have said this, and that would have been an excellent thing to do.
Yeah. Johnson. Humility? How so?
Well, you know, there's lots of homeless people around, you know, and not everybody has the humility to go sit with them and talk to them.
Okay. So, to see somebody who's in a different position than we are and humble ourselves to be...
Put yourself on the same level, see that they're
high. Yeah, to recognize that we are on the same level. Because we're all in desperate need of the gospel. Some haven't found it yet. Yeah, financially.
That's what you're driving to be able to get out of your car. And
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're a soul, regardless of their standing physically or financially, socially in this life. Leah. Okay. Afraid. I would guess that that's probably the most common. That's what probably is for me. I'm afraid of that interaction. At that moment, maybe not always, but at that particular moment, that's awkward or that, I don't know what to say or how to say it.
Then, you know, I think sometimes that the very least that any of us could do is hand a card out. I mean, that's just like, to me, level one things. Okay. It's easier for me to hand a card out than it may be for somebody else. But also not being prepared, like I've come across a situation where I'm like, and I'm like reaching for it, and I'm like, I don't have my cards with me.
Okay. Unprepared.
Right.
Logistically unprepared. Maybe not knowledge-wise, but situationally unprepared for that. Okay. Yes, sir.
Or sometimes we see people and we draw conclusions on how we think they're going to respond. We prejudge the situation and just decide, you know, they're not going to accept it, so why waste my time?
Yeah. Did you have your hand? That's what you're going to say.
Determine outcomes.
Yeah. There was something. Joel Renly and Hector Arzola both worked for me for a period of time, and I would talk to them about this, and I'd have to remember this. I still have to do this, that assumptions would kill deals. Basically, if I assumed, based on the info that I had about a person that had contacted us about their property, buy and sell houses, that I would make an assumption based on whatever info I had, that it wasn't going to work. And basically, it would potentially shut things down to where I wouldn't move forward with it. And I would have to continually drill that out of myself. It's the same thing. If we assume based on prejudging, before we have tried to share the gospel with somebody, then we could just not do it. Okay. So those are some reasons. The biggest one that scares me is if I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That one's a character problem. And I need to make sure that I'm not, that that's not what's going on. If I look at it and I'm like, I'd rather be on good terms with this person and not share the gospel than to be on good terms with God. So that's a major thing that we should never get to. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like to get two things. The other day, I substitute people up, and I always talk to the kids. And when I talk to them, you have to be careful in the school system, but when I talk to them, I always say, if you call yourself a Christian, you should be doing these things anyway.
Okay. So
I talk to them about how to treat each other and all that stuff. And the other day, I had a young man come up to me at the end of class and ask me what my favorite scripture was. And I thought, you know, it's like fishing. I finally caught one. And we started talking. I gave him a card. He invited me to come to church. And, you know, you just never know. And several years ago, I always talk to him when I have an opportunity with my family members. And I was talking to him about coming to church. We had a gospel meeting that week. And the one person that the whole family member that I didn't ever imagine coming to the church showed up.
Okay.
He just told me then, you know, that quit, don't judge. But it's happened to me several times. I assume that's the one that's not going to bother with him. Bother with these others probably will. That's the one.
Yeah. I would never have picked Manasseh, the king, as somebody that was going to straighten up. you know, he was sacrificing children to idols. That sounds pretty far from a candidate for following God, but God sees the heart. Yes, sir.
You know, you were talking about that fear that a little bit ago, and in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 7 and 8, it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable, it goes on, murderers, those who are fearful, cowardly, it's going to be sad, because they're not going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
And so we've got to make sure we don't have that fear, or at least we can get over it as quickly as we can and repent from it.
Yeah. So some of these things are heart issues. Fear, assuming something about somebody's situation. Those are within us. Or we don't like somebody. I mean, that could happen to us too. Well, they still need the gospel. There were a lot of people Jesus had an opportunity to not like if he was to choose that. So we can have a heart problem or a how problem. Which of those is actually easier to fix? Which do you think? The how. The how is the easiest part of this to fix. The heart is the hard part. And that's, our heart is where the why comes from. The why in anything in our life can get us through all kinds of things we would never imagine being able to do if we have the why. So if we have a love for someone's soul. So those kinds of things are harder to fix, those heart problems. So, and I realize we're not in this yet. We haven't even opened this book yet. But I can also delay and delay and delay, and then eventually Chris will come in. He'll teach the part where he picked up, pick up where he left off anyway. Okay, there's a passage in Luke chapter 14 and verse 18 that gets to something that Jason said, and I think Kim also mentioned this. And then I realize this is a little bit different, who the person is in the setting or in the situation, this illustration here. But Luke 14, 18, they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come." So they all had an excuse, and how, and the way he treats the representation of these people is not positive. He doesn't consider their excuses valid for what he's invited them to here. So we need to be on guard for what we are bringing, what is stopping us from sharing the gospel with others. Yes.
Just read about really didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And that could very well be our problem if we really look at it. We just really don't want to.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. I'm going to jump back to a business parallel here. When I first started in the business that I'm in, I had the first thing I had to learn was a script. And it was basically just some things to say and questions to ask, talking to people about property. It was real simple. It was one page. And I had to memorize it word for word exactly so that I could say it without even thinking about it. My kids can say it. This was 5 years ago I learned this, so kids could recite it, because I'd do it in the car. I'd pretend that they were somebody that owned property. I'd buy a 5 million square foot house from them on the, you know, on a fake phone call. But it was a script. And that seems canned and contrived. But really what it was for is to get the structure of what I needed to say drilled into my head so that I didn't have to sit there and think about it. And think, oh, well, what's the next thing I need to find out? Well, I knew what I needed to find out because I'd memorized this. And eventually it became my own. That's kind of what this is. This is like a script. I mean, we all have a Bible. If you've obeyed the gospel, you already know what you do, what you need to believe, what you could tell somebody. This is just a framework to help you go through that conversation with somebody. And there's, you know, endless number of different ways to do it. I did this. That's the first step, memorizing that. So I'm not saying you got to memorize this, but you got to be able to use it. The second thing was to get on the phone whenever had the script memorized. And that was the hard part, because what I was supposed to do is get on the phone with Craigslist people's contacts from Craigslist ads from random properties that I didn't really care about, but go through this and go through this and go through it. So I got Craigslist ads from Waco and Austin. I didn't get them around here. Why do you think I didn't get any ads from around here?
In case they said yes.
Okay. Maybe in case they said yes. I was afraid I might know some of these people. That would be awkward. So out of fear, I went and got ads from Austin Craigslist. But anyway, I had to get on the phone. And I was scared about it. Because it was taking something that I was comfortable with and pushing me outside my comfort zone. Well, that's how this is. And if you regularly talk to people about the gospel already, you're kind of in the middle of this all the time. This step outside your comfort zone, and it gets a little more comfortable every time you do it. But the hardest part of this, really, if you haven't started doing this, is starting. And it's one of the reasons that it can be easy for us to put that off is just feel like we don't know enough. I'm not equipped. And kind of similar to this business example I was given, I didn't know what I needed to know, but that wasn't the point. The point was to start talking to people. Well, the same thing is true here. If you knew enough to obey the gospel yourself, you know enough to talk to somebody about obeying the gospel. So the first thing we need to do is actually to pray about it. There's a fear that we'll say the wrong thing. I think, Leah, you mentioned, you know, we could mess something up. The message is pretty simple that we're trying to convey. And if we'll pray, God will be with us when we talk to people. Now, if we're unsure about something doctrinally, yeah, we need to get that figured out first, but that's not generally where we're at. Do y'all remember your own conversion and what you knew then? I don't think I knew that much. But I'd heard enough to know the gospel. Well, that's the same thing here. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, Saul is persecuting the church, and it's causing this pressure on them. And they begin to scatter. And it says in verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So describe these people. Who were these people? What were they like? Were these Bible scholars? The Bible scholars who had been scattered went about preaching the word. That's not what it says. These were ordinary people, just like all of us. And they went about sharing the message that saved them. So you and I, we know enough. And it's really about us getting started, making mistakes. And if you're in the middle of that, there's something else that happens. Yes, sir.
I think looking at this passage, what we have to keep in mind is they did not go around convincing people to try to come to church where they go to church. That's important.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what gives us so much fear sometimes. We're trying to draw them away from something else and come to what, and if you come here, you'll be right. And I think that's what we need to get away from. It's more, let's talk about Jesus. And in doing that, we'll determine what's right, what's the truth. And then they eventually will make the right decisions about where they need to be. But I think sometimes that's the example we're given is they talked about Jesus.
Yeah.
And not about talking about where you go to church. Because that's a turnoff sometimes.
It is.
But you and I can mutually start talking about Jesus, something we both agree on, and just have a conversation and see where it goes. And that's so much easier than feeling like I'm trying to sell you on coming to church here.
Yeah.
That's such a different approach.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because if we're doing that, we're taking what we do here and competing with what's going on somewhere else. And if they don't know what God wants us to be about, like if they think that it's, you know, anything goes and we'll just have a rock concert every night and a party, we can't compete with that, with this. This is exciting, this Bible class, but I don't see anybody jumping up and down right now. It doesn't have an emotional high to compete with, you know, well, I go to church over here. Well, you should come over here with that. I was thinking about that this morning. I don't find that in the Bible. The deal of handing the cards out. What's the purpose of that? Handing these little cards that we've got on the back table. Why would we do that? Yeah, but why?
And I have one thought by bringing them in and have to hear the truth.
Okay, to hear the truth. Yeah, to get them here so they can, because that's what's going on here. I mean, we're here because we're going to hear a message from God, from His Word. Well, that's the reason for doing that. But the end goal, this, back to the business thing, if I have business cards, and that's great, it's contact info. But if I hand somebody a business card and say, "Here, I buy a property. Here's a business card." That's the end of it. It's not going any further. It can potentially be easier for us to do that than to have a conversation with them. And I'm not trying to say don't do that. Absolutely. Try to get them to come here. But ultimately, the end purpose of any of our interactions with somebody is to get them to hear the gospel, because the gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation. And so we'd need to get them in contact with it. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And ultimately, we want them to have a conversation. We want there to be a conversation about their soul and the gospel. Okay, so I have run around and asked a bunch of questions and talked a bunch and not touched this book yet. So let's go ahead and get into lesson one. Chapter one, lesson one, page 3 is where we left off on Wednesday, and we're talking about, in this section, we're talking about the honoring Jesus and His Word, and then there are some other things that potentially can be honored instead of Jesus and His Word, or above Jesus and His Word. And we went through this, our conscience, the wisdom of men, the majority, my parents, and then the law of Moses. Is the section we're in right now. Does anybody just, real quick, and I don't mean to ask a question to get a comment that's going to go for a little while. Does anybody just know the some of the passages where you could go to look at things related to Christ and things related to the law of Moses and the keeping of the law of Moses. What are some passages?
Hebrews.
Hebrews, okay. Hebrews what? Okay. Hebrews 4. We'll get into Hebrews 8 here in a little bit. What else? Where else? And this is not for the purpose of digging into a deep, deep dialogue about Judaism, but Acts 15. If you look through Acts 15, you have an example of people trying to bind the law of Moses. Galatians 2 and 3 specifically, again, people trying to bind the law of Moses. And so these passages are good to just remember that that's there, and you can have that conversation in that passage with somebody if they claim the law of Moses. So that's just something to keep in the back of your mind. Acts 15, Galatians 2, 3, 4, Hebrews, there's several passages in there because it's comparing the greatness of Christ and his covenant and kingdom with the old covenant. Let's go ahead and jump into section E, number 1. Would somebody like to read that section? Anybody?
The law of Moses is the word God gave to govern his nation of Israel. It begins with the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and it's laid out over 600 specific laws throughout the Old Testament. It included rules for their society, their morality, and their worship.
Okay, so the law of Moses, it was from God, but it says there it was given to the nation of Israel, and in Galatians chapter 3, again, this is from one of our topical passages here, Galatians 3, in verse 10, it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So that's what the law was like. And I thought of that when I saw the 600 there. I'm not going to be able to keep up with 600 laws. They weren't able to keep up with 600 different laws. So it was... That's a description of the law of Moses for anybody who's not familiar with it. When you're having a conversation with them and they want to cling to the law of Moses, they may not know. This was an onerous system that only served to remind them where they stood with God and to point to Christ. Okay, section 2. Somebody read that, please.
About God, it is important to understand that it is not the law of salvation in Jesus Christ. The old law has passed away. It was God's plan all along that the old law end with Jesus and the New Testament law to perfect to save mankind.
Okay. So it gives us this number 2 there gives us some of the purpose behind it, its duration. Does anybody have a comment on that one?
I just have a question. I'm curious about the purpose of this section in here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in reality, we're not going to be converting a lot of Jews to Christianity.
Yeah.
We're converting people, most of the time, we're going to be converting people who claim to be Christians to. So, I feel like there's several purposes for this section. One is we don't want to go to the Old Testament for authority.
Yeah.
Is that the purpose of this section being here?
I think that's what it's for, and this is kind of this may be something, because there's not a lot of controversial things that you've run into in lesson 1. But this lays some groundwork for authority in issues that may be brought up in the rest of this book. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, God was very specific with the old law, and he was very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he meant for people to toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with us today.
Yeah. And what does that show us?
Pardon?
What does that show to us?
It shows to us that God means what he says.
Okay.
It means for us to do and obey what he says.
Okay. Somebody over here. This is the last comment. Yes, sir.
I think there are a lot of people in the world today, in the United States in particular, that don't understand that the old law and the new law are two different things. They don't understand that the law, the Old Testament was just for the Jews only.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they think about what the Bible says, they don't make a distinction between the old law and the new law, because they don't understand the nature of it, the purpose of it. So that's a problem when you're trying to teach somebody.
Yeah, and we'll run into that even if the people aren't Jews. I mean, around in our culture, people will use, they'll grab pieces because they don't understand it's the way it worked together and its purpose. All right, thank y'all for your help. And